Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And perhaps the hottest team in the WNBA right now is the Chicago Sky, coming off a couple of very important victories, handling Minnesota and then taking care of first-place Connecticut. You know, the Sky is on a roll, and I'm always happy to talk to the coach of that team, and that is Pokey Chatman. And, Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. You know, you talked about the streak. It sure as heck doesn't feel like it when you have top-notch opponents coming in to play you right after that. But, you know, long story short, we're just happy that we came out the weekend with a couple of big wins and ready for the next challenge that's going to be in Washington tomorrow.
Well, you certainly have had a few challenges. You know, you start with the absence of Sylvia Fowles and having to replace her at such a late date and, you know, the difficult circumstances involving that, and then Quigley going overseas at the start of the missing a couple games and injuries and, you know, losing a starter in Tamara Young. And here you sit just about floating right at the top of the peak in the East again.
Yeah, you know, I'm hearing you say that, and I guess those things kind of happen in waves, not that you ever want them to happen, but it's just a testament to the resolve of the players. You know, the Sylvia piece, you know, you kind of get an inkling of it early on, so you have to adjust the way you play, which is easy for me to do on paper, David, but I have to give credit to the players that have really embraced, you know, add a lot of possessions to the game and getting up and down, and then also absorbing losing Tamara Young. And just kind of keeping things going.
Well, let's talk about your first MVP candidate in the year that Elena Delladon is having. You know, we know that she was a spectacular talent. We had seen that when she had been playing in prior years, but she really has taken her game up a notch. It's cliche to say it, but, you know, she's just almost averaging a double-double, and, you know, that's with everybody focusing on her. And, you know, it's just the things that she's done on the court, not just on the offensive end, but overall have just been eye-opening.
It has, David. I'm glad you talked about the almost double-double, because in our exit meeting, and you probably had this conversation with me before, you know, Elena averaged 4 rebounds last year, and some of that was a product of her health. Some of it was a product of, you know, keeping rebounding top of mind and making that commitment to it. So to see her shoulder such a heavy load offensively, but also cleaning the boards for us, I think that's a huge testament to her. And I think what's special about her, and people are even appreciating a little bit more, the manner in which she's going about helping us be successful, whether it's a facilitator with the assist, whether she's a screener, and her man not helping, and she's embracing that, and it's really helped us turn the corner a little bit.
You know, and, you know, the percentages, you know, she's up to 50% on her field goal shooting this year. You know, the highest she ever shot before was 43% last year. So she's improved in that aspect, too. She's taking smart choices. Her foul shooting, everybody knows about, has always been ridiculous. But, you know, when you put up those types of numbers and the fact that she is physically pounded most games and she does step outside and shoot jumpers and three-pointers and, you know, 50% has got to be just about where you would really be hoping for under the best-case circumstances.
No, you're right. I can remember early on, you look at those numbers, and it's just phenomenal because she's being, you know, guarded so many different ways. You know, she's either being glitched, she's either, you know, it's a hard switch, they're running people at her, not letting her cut. And you can't ever tell from Elena's body language if she has 30 points or 3. And that's just the mark of a player that knows how to positively impact the game, whether she's scoring the basketball, touching it or not. And I think that's what is amazing to me, along with everything else.
You know, when you played the last game in Connecticut, we talked afterwards, and one of the things you pointed out was, you know, we had raised the comment that Camille Little does a good job defending her, but then you kind of chuckled and talked about the fact that, in doing so, she opened up the gates for, you know, your team to go on a 9-0 start of the game because of Quigley being open because of non-switches. So talk for a second about what Deladon does to free up the others because of the respect she needs to command.
It is, like, you know, Elena is going to get her share of touches. She's going to get those points. And we've learned that we don't have to force feed her into getting her percentage down to 30 just to get a shot up. You know, I mentioned that. And if you remember this last game against Connecticut, we ran the same play 3 times and got 3 buckets. And Elena never touched the basketball. And it's a matter of those other players making reads and making shots. And Gabby made the shots, obviously, at a high clip. But it was just nice to play off of Elena because what we know is that her man's not going to help. So if you make her a screener, that cutter's going to be open. And, you know, you got to play the percentages, and it worked in our favor last time. And for someone of her caliber, David, to embrace that, I mean, she likes getting the screen assists because that's stuff that we chart. We value that, you know, from a hockey assist, a screen assist, you name it. There's value to it, and when a star player understands that, it helps you become a better team every day.
And now you've got a second MVP candidate this year that we got to talk about, the rejuvenated Cappy Pondexter. It's amazing when you put somebody in the right place and you make them happy with their role and, you know, how it can revitalize a career.
Yeah, you know, Happy Cappy. I call her Happy Cappy. She's always smiling, you know, and she's just a delightful person. And, yes, the numbers speak for themselves, for itself. You know, you look at Cappy being put in an environment where she gets to play two-man basketball. You know, she talks about her time in Phoenix and, you know, having that 1-2 punch with Taurasi. But, you know, part of it is I can remember when we made the trade. Everyone talked about how old Cappy was. And I'm just thinking, like, well, then Simone must be old, too, because they're about the same age. You know, it was just funny. But I think that was relegated to the age difference with Prince. And what we needed that veteran leadership. We needed someone that was seasoned and understood the game that could help my youngsters, my first, second-year players, kind of connect the dots when they're out there on the court, not just at halftime or during the timeout. And she's embracing it, and she is playing extremely well, and I hope she continues.
You know, when I was talking both with Cheryl Reeve recently and then Mike Thibault last week, we were discussing the fact that these veterans come in to go with the youngsters. You bring them in and you hope that they can be, you know, role models and lead some of the youngsters to where they hadn't been before. Cappy certainly has embraced that role there. You could see when the team is on the court, Elena is clearly a leader, but Cappy gathers the team, talks to them. You know, you could see the importance that she has taken over a lot of leadership roles on that team.
She has, and man, you have some really good stuff. And, you know, there's some of the things that you guys can see, obviously, on the court, but, you know, it's other things that also add to that. You know, Cappy's from Chicago. She has a home in Wrigleyville. You know, it's probably a 35-minute, 40-minute commute. But what Cappy does is she goes and she gets an apartment that's 3 miles from the arena so she can get her rehab in. She can get shots up with Christy. She can be there when Elaine is there early and get her workout in. So if you're a rookie and you see this vet who says, you know what, this is how important it is to me. I need an apartment right here at the arena to work out. It makes everything else easier. And then the bottom line is she's the only one in his organization that's won a championship. So when she talks, you know, players are going to listen, coaches included. And it's really been great, and I expect it to get even better.
You know, and Vandersloot is continues to improve. She's in, what, year 4 now, I guess it is?
Five.
Okay, wow. You know, I'm starting to feel old. Never mind how you feel. But she has become more of an extension of you on the court each year. And when you put her and Quigley out there together, you got two guards that can handle the ball along with Cappy. You know, that small lineup, when you run it, it can be really effective because of the ability for all of them to do everything.
It does, you know. And I'll tell you this. I think Cappy's presence has allowed Sloot to kind of step up her leadership game, even vocally. There's a little bit more comfort because she can lead her way, Elena can lead her way, Cappy has her way, and together, you know, those are my three captains, so they get a lot of things covered. Allie and Sloot playing in Europe together really, really helped. You know, that's an offensive league abroad. And I think with that smaller lineup, it gives me three options to outlet the ball. And, you know, that's a lineup that we really get into quick strike. We're trying to score the first 6 seconds of the shot clock. And it's been working so far. And if we can continue to marry a little bit deep into that, we would be happy with the results. That's an area that we've been poor.
You know, and you had mentioned before to me that, you know, you have the ability with Deladon, Pondexter, Vandersloot, and Quigley, that combo when you put them out there, to change roles without calling timeout and just change what you decide to run while on the fly.
It is. And, you know, and there are segments of the game where we'll just the outlet's going to a lane, and that sets a few other things into motion. You know, some of that's predicated on who they're playing and who's in the game, you know, and all that good stuff. But that, what's nice about it, though, David, is, you know, coaches, we want to think we have so much control, you know, but when that call goes up, if those players are connected and they realize how much they can control and how they can change things on the fly, it gives me a really nice opportunity to run some counters and some quick hits and some misdirects, and I think that has really been great for us.
Now, of course, there is five players on the court at a time, so that fifth spot has been the post position, which has been a bit troublesome for you so far. But between Jessica Breland and Clarissa Dos Santos, and you're getting some minutes out of Benai Jelani at points, and Sasha Goodlett and Cheyenne Parker, and I'm sure you're not overjoyed with the production you're getting, but it hasn't been awful.
No, I'm not. I don't know if I would ever be overjoyed. But, you know, we're just insatiable as coaches, but it's getting better, and I have to do a better job of, you know, trusting the process of letting some of them grow up. I just didn't like them growing up under the lights, you know. We had those 6 games in 12 days. It's not fair to, you know, have a rookie learn how to play 5 different schemes without practicing. And I think, you know, I remember Christy, my assistant, was so excited to get back home to practice. And then you can see some of the things that develop. But I think Dos Santos, even though she's a rookie, she's been a pro. She's played in the Olympics. You know, she understands some things. And defensively, she helps us even though she's, you know, only 6'1". But I think those players will find a way to fill that void that's been missing for sure.
And Breland seems to be, I would be safe to say for now, she is the starting center on this team. And she will get the lion's share of the minutes.
Well, you know, last game we started Dos Santos at 5, and probably do that again tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Gives Breland some comfort, and, you know, she's coming along. Her health is getting better. She's moving a lot better. The jump shot's looking good. So we got her back at the 4 right now. She's feeling good. But she is, you know, we've asked Breland to do a lot. You know, last year she was interchangeable with Elena. You know, sometimes I had her playing the 3 and switching Elena to the 4, and that's the part that I appreciate because, you know, technically you would think we would have struggled a little bit more offensively because early on, you know, just finding chemistry and new pieces. And that's the area that they really embrace, and I think Breland's been a part of that. Even though she hadn't scored at a big clip, just her understanding of being able to play multiple positions have allowed us to do some things.
And that's allowed you to put Quigley back off the bench where you also have that instant offense coming out, which I'm sure is something that's nice to have.
It is. You know, a couple of years ago, I guess last year, you know, Allie was the captain of the second team. And, I mean, that is something that she prides herself in, and it does. It gives me a little bit of punch. It also gives me a little bit of flexibility because I can also initiate some offense with her and change things. And, you know, I got a good group. You know, we're still learning, we're still growing, but I appreciate, you know, how we got out to a slow start, but they're starting to figure things out a little bit.
Well, you guys, you've started 9 different players, and only 3 of them have started all, you know, the big 3, Deladon, Pondexter, Sloot, have started all 13 games so far.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, that gives you, to look at it a few different ways, you know. We're trying to figure some things out. But I remember our very first game against Indiana. They had some people injured. They had a small lineup for probably their first 4 or 5 games. Sometimes you're doing stuff because you need to, because of your own self, you know, because of injuries, because of lineups, because of an opponent. We were just trying to figure out who was going to fill that spot for us because Breland was coming back off of an injury. We wanted Elaine in a certain spot to be effective. So a player that is, a player that adjusted to me pulling people in and out of there. You know, it's not about who starts, it's about how we finish. And we say that as coaches and hope they buy into it. I've been fortunate enough that they buy into it and they're trusting my process. So I appreciate that.
So how big has it been to win those last three games? Two against Connecticut, who, of course, has been in first place in the East, and then beating Minnesota, who has probably top to bottom been the best team in the league.
You know, I had time to think about it yesterday. You remember the Connecticut game? It worried me so much because I know when a big player is missing, bone was going to be missing, it bothered me. Like, technically, I should have been happy, right? Oh, they're missing a double-double. But it made me sick to my stomach because I think the team that loses the players, they naturally relax and they play free-flowing because they have nothing to lose. And whether you want to admit it or not, maybe it's in your team's head that, man, this helps us. So I was worried about that game, and I really did think we were lucky to get away with the win. And I didn't even feel like we won. I was a little bit, you know, I can't say, I wasn't happy with it. So I was so excited to get back to those days off. So fast forward to this weekend, I didn't think about it until the press conference when somebody said, oh, you'd be first in the West and first in the East. And it kind of hit me like that was really a nice weekend for us, you know. But more importantly, being home and getting some momentum because, David, we've been giving up 2 million points a game. So I was thinking to myself, I said, listen, if we don't play defense, Minnesota's going to score about 120 on us. You know, and then I did. I said that to Christy. I said that to the team. And so it was nice to finally get a few stops when we needed it, even though Maya went crazy on us.
Well, you know, defense does come with time when you put young players together. And, you know, you got a couple of tough ones coming up. Washington, by the time this airs, Washington game will have been played. And then Minnesota. But then, you know, in the middle to the end of July, yeah, you get that nice little homestand. You get five games in a row at home, and that's going to be a big stretch for you guys.
Oh my gosh, you're right. I think we get to the point finally where 12 or 16 to be at home, and it was nice to literally unpack my bag because I was literally just leaving it packed and taking out dirty clothes and putting it back in. So now you get to play a very nice Washington team that kicked your butt. And regardless of how that goes, you get to travel to Minnesota, and they've got a score to settle. And a lot of times those teams that have a score to settle with themselves because they have high expectations, they're the most dangerous. So it would be nice to come back home and be there for multiple games, regardless of what happens with the next two.
So overall, top to bottom in the East, now as you look at things, you've made the circle, played everybody at least once now. There's two games separating first and last place. You know, how's this whole thing going to shake out?
Oh, gosh. Wow. You know, the interesting thing about that is it sure as hell keeps you on your toes even more. Like, you can't get caught up in one game, whether it goes your way or not. You know, I think we went into the weekend fourth, and we came out of the weekend 3 days later second. And that is just a reminder of you're one possession away, knock on wood, one sprained ankle away from falling short of your goal. So I think that keeps everything top of mind and everyone locked in and tuned in to what's in front of them, so you can't really look too far ahead.
Yep.
I have no idea how it's going to shake out.
You know, for everybody talking about how great the West is and how bad the East is, you know, I see three teams in the Western Conference that have combined for 8 wins, you know, out of the 6 teams there. And then I see everybody in the East has got at least 6. So
really?
I think things have evened out a little bit. I mean, you know, this is looking like the Western Conference in the NBA where everybody's going to beat each other and you're going to be tougher by the time you make it to the finals.
Oh, gosh. You know, it's interesting to hear you say that, you know, because we're all, you know, everyone's on the outside talking about East versus West, and I get it, you know. But it's such a log jam in this Eastern Conference. I couldn't tell you the record of a Western Conference team. I couldn't, you know. I might know what place they're in. I don't know their records because I respect how closely we're all falling, you know, against each other, so I don't even waste my energy on it. Just got to get ready for Washington. I know they're going to come in here, you know, looking to break our little streak.
Last question, and you can tell me if you don't want to answer it or not, because I understand you have different roles and different capacities. Are we going to see Sylvia Fowles someplace in the WNBA this year? Is that going to be ever shake itself out, or is it just going to be she's going to be sit out?
Well, it's not dead. We're still trying. I will tell you that. We went into this knowing it was fluid. I know the clock is ticking. You know, I would hope we would. But like I said before, you know, Sylvia doesn't want to be here, unfortunately. And I do think she wants to play. It just gets difficult making sure all the parties that would be involved in something would be happy. But I would tell you this, that I mean, we're still trying every day.
Sounds good to me. Well, Coach, congratulations on getting things straightened out and everybody back except for T.Y., who hopefully will be back soon. And,
yes.
You know, hey, this may be that rare time where we get to see a complete Chicago Sky team.
Oh, God, that would be nice. That would be nice, David.
You take care, and thanks again for your time.
All right, my pleasure. Take care.